Father, we're aware of our weaknesses and our vulnerabilities, and we pray that you be with us in those, in the things that we've done, in the things we've left undone, in just our hurts and our agonies and our weariness. So be with us. In your name I pray. Amen. All right. Well, welcome to the faithful, the strong, the Alaskan Huskies of our people, the crazy of our people. So just special welcome. We're really glad you're here. I want to say a special hello to all the podcast people, because I know a lot of our people will be listening via podcast tomorrow, and you can laugh at them all, shame them. But no, it's really bad. Don't blame any of them. This morning, we had scheduled to have my friend Steve come in and speak. Steve flew in from Minneapolis last night, so this is just like home for him, and has to go back tomorrow. I think when we leave my house tomorrow morning at like 5 a.m., it's going to be about 20 below, and so if we get to the airport, that'll be most of the battle. I met Steve 2 years ago when I started up at the Transforming Center, the retreats that I go on every quarter, or was until I finished this fall, and Steve is one of those people that when I met him right away, kind of just kindred spirits. You know how you meet somebody and it's like we connect. He's also the father of only boys, as I am the father of only boys. And so we connect at that level. Steve, I forgot to say this at early service. Steve is my running muse. He's ran 10 marathons and this year ran rim to rim at the Grand Canyon. So start at one rim, ran down, walked, jogged up the other side, walked up the other side, but still amazing, amazing accomplishment. And so Steve started a blog about a year ago that I know some of you read because I've seen you copy it or share it and those kinds of things. But he wrote a blog post about a year ago that made me think, oh man, we got to get Steve to our church. And he talked about being a parent of young children and giving us permission to just have young children and the chaos of that and giving us permission to just be and not feel the pressure to become somebody else and to become what somebody else is on Pinterest. And so that was really just, oh man, and when I read that, I thought Steve needs to interact with our people because that's where many of us are. And so we've talked off and on for a while, and Atlanta this week was a good time to come. And so I'm really excited. First service was awesome, and I think that you will benefit by what he has to say to us this morning. So I want you to welcome Steve. And oh, wait, one more thing. He's going to ask you to talk back, and there's only like 12 of us in here, 30 of us maybe 30, all right? I haven't counted yet. So even those of you that don't share often, today's your day, all right? I feel it. Today is the day you might want to pipe up, all right? So don't put it all on Seth and Mandy to carry you all like we often do in here, all right? That's the deal. All right. I'm inviting everybody into the discussion. All right. This is your week. All right. So would you please welcome Steve?
Really breathtaking for me to be here this weekend. Last night at Charlie's house, Charlie and Jen and the boys hosted me. We had homemade pizza and delicious beer. And that's going to go on the podcast as well. It's beautiful. And then at the 8:30 gathering, it was just sweet and special and beautiful. And so for me to be here is a huge gift for me. My three sons and my wife are back home in Minneapolis, where I think it already is 15 below zero. So it is warmer here, gang, for at least a little while. So just thrilled to be here. Thrilled to see Imago. Thrilled to interact with you. The spirit is so beautiful and lovely. I mean, you guys are great. So looking forward to the next 3 hours or so together. I would love to pray together before we dive into this part of the gathering. And the invitation is not just to listen to me pray, but to enter into an invitation where you give God an invitation. And I think this is a vulnerable thing to do, to give God an invitation. And the invitation, I don't know what the invitation will be for you to give God, but prayer is a time to meet God where you actually are, not where you should be, not what you think you should be thinking or feeling right now on Sunday morning at church, and I made it, and I was one of the few that made it, so, you know, points for that. Prayer, and this prayer, is a time to meet God and invite God to do what only God can do. So I'll give you about 30 seconds in silence, and that's not enough, but it's what we have, and then I will join with you in your invitation to God. So God, here we are in all of our glorious mess, maybe, all the brokenness, all the things that we have done and left undone. Here we are, and here you are. Hear our prayer. Hear our invitations. And meet us there. Amen? All right, so when I say amen, when I go amen like that, that really is partly my insecurity of saying, like, are you picking up what I'm putting down, right? So just because I'm a guest, if I say amen, just go, yeah, amen, or yes, or, and if you don't agree, then you can just be silent, you know, and just kind of, you know, say, okay, not really. I'm not picking up what you're putting down right there, and that would be okay too. But if you do, you know, say amen. Amen? Okay, we're going to get to the text, but when I was flying here, I have to admit that one of my guilty pleasures in life when I fly is to buy the ridiculous magazine that is People Magazine. I like to do it, but I resisted. I resisted because I had a great book that I'm reading right now, The Signature of All Things, Elizabeth Gilbert, so good. But I was sitting across from someone who was reading Us Weekly, and the headline on it was, Get Thin Fast. Right? Which, of course, is what we all want to do, but we don't admit that we want to do that. And it's what sells magazines. And we think it's ridiculous, and we stand in judgment over people that would buy that silly, ridiculous, stupid magazine and to get thin fast, and yet there's part of us that would love to get thin fast. And I just think as we even encounter God and encounter each other in our spiritual lives, there's a part of us that goes, it's so ridiculous to think that we might get a life with God fast. But we kind of want that. I mean, don't we? I mean, it's like, God, if there was just a kind of an easier way to get a life with you, we sort of want that. So we stand in our juxtapositions of we think formulas are stupid and ridiculous and we would never fall prey to them. And God, it would be nice to have a formula to become a better parent, a better spouse, a better follower of Jesus, wouldn't it? I mean, so let's just admit that we stand in those contradictions. And the conversation that we're going to have today is primarily directed toward those people that are weary, those people that are tired. And I'm actually, at our last gathering, Charlie told me, our last gathering of the transforming community that we shared. So every 3 months we would come and gather in Chicago. And at our last one, he goes, Steve, I gotta be honest with you. When I saw you at the first one, I saw you across the room and I noticed that, okay, here's someone finally, you know, I was worried that he said that there would be all just 70-year-old people there and me. And so he sensed a kindred spirit, at least in age. And, but he goes, Steve, I'll tell you now, cause I know you, but I looked at you and I thought, you are a wreck. This guy over there really needs this. That's what he told me. That guy across the room is weary and tired and a wreck. And I am, and I was. Part of my journey is 7 years of infertility with my wife, Mary. And that's up and down. If you've been through infertility, it's one of the most harrowing journeys. That there's hope and there's despair and hope and despair and hope and despair. And everyone has a story for you about how their aunt, stopped trying. And that's how they got pregnant. And that's what they want. And they have the magic bullet for you, right? And you just sit there and you go, okay, tried that 17 months ago. Didn't work. Thank you very much. I hate you very much. So, but then we had a boy named Isaac. He's 6 and a half right now. And then about 2 years later, we had twins, Benjamin and Elijah. So for the last 6 and a half years, we have had children. In the last 4 and a half years, we've had 3 children under the ages of, you know, 6 now. And it has been crazy and beautiful. And it has stretched us past our limits and expanded us past the point that we thought was even possible. So many times. And so I want to have a conversation this morning about what is it like to have a life with God when you are being pushed past your limits, when you're weary, when you're exhausted, when you can't even think straight, much less like get up in the morning and zip up your hoodie and have a quiet time with God in a way that is meaningful and rich and real, and then go do your work, and then come home and be a father to three kids who drive you crazy a lot of the time, and then be a good husband and be a good pastor and do all that stuff with the whim and ease of a really, you know, person who has a rich spiritual life. And what do you do when the reality is, yesterday, as I was driving to the airport with my kids in the car, I'm actually screaming at them in the back seat to shut up because you're talking all at the same time and I can't hear myself think. Now, let's get ready to go and preach at, you know, a church. So the text I want to invite you to turn to is Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42. It's a little story that you've heard. And So the context is Jesus has these friends named Mary and Martha. And you've heard this story, right? And please, just so I know, who knows this story, Mary and Martha, in the scriptures? Okay. And tell me what you think of this story. Just thoughts, reactions before we get into it. So, you know, it's Martha, the busy, stalwart cook who gets shamed by Jesus because she is busy. And it's Mary, the beautiful, amazing person who eschews all busyness in order to sit at the feet of Jesus. What do you think of this story? As I put words in your mouth right now, go ahead.
I love it because I feel like it gives me an excuse to just sit and hang out.
Yes! Awesome! Love that. Totally. Kind of like to be busy, like to be, yeah.
I tend to be on the Martha side.
Yep.
Work has to be done.
All right, Ed. Work has to be done. Someone's got to do it, right? Someone's got to do it.
I think part of the struggle is we don't have a physical Jesus to sit at the feet of. So the work it takes to get quiet and still enough to even try to be Mary is, I mean, just practically hours more. Just being able to sit down and listen to him because he showed up at the house. And a lot of us don't even have the tools to get there, even when there are other people in the house. And it's very difficult to get to that place, even if that's who, because I think we're all both of those. But to really tap into that second side is a lot of work.
So we're all Mary and we're all Martha. And it's really a lot of work to get to the place to, you know, where we're sitting at the feet of Jesus. And, but like, does anyone feel like the teaching of this passage is be less like Martha, be more like Mary? I mean, graduate to becoming like Mary, right? That's what spiritual formation is. Leaving the busyness of cooking a pizza for your friend and graduating to sitting at the feet of Jesus with the ocean sitting in the background glistening and all worries of life melting away, right? And if we're really getting it right, then that's what we'll become. And that's, I think, how I was taught this passage. That's what this passage means. I'm going to suggest to you that there's a lot more richness in this passage if we're willing to look at it. So can we taste it together? Can we look at it together? Can we have a conversation about it together? So I'm going to read it to you. This comes from the translation, the Voice translation, which I just think is cool. There's nuances in it. So I will read it to you. You can follow along in your own translations. I would recommend checking out the Voice, though. I think you can look at it online, Bible Gateway. There's an app even that you can get it for free. So check it out. It's fun. So Jesus continued from there toward Jerusalem. He came to another village, Bethany, just a couple miles outside of Jerusalem. And Martha, a resident of that village, welcomed Jesus into her home. And her sister Mary sat at Jesus' feet, listening to him teach. And meanwhile, Martha was anxious about all the hospitality arrangements. Oh. And Martha interrupts Jesus and says, "Lord, why don't you care that my sister is leaving me to do all the work by myself?" Totally triangulating. "Tell her to get over here and help me." And Jesus says, oh, Martha, Martha, you're anxious, you're concerned about a million details, but really only one thing matters. And Mary has chosen that one thing. And I won't take it away from her. So what rises up in you when you hear Jesus' words, when you hear Martha's words, and when now you hear that story read out to you? Questions, reactions? Yeah.
I think it's a little bit about focusing on what's important right now.
Right.
Like, Martha's, like, getting things busy, but right. He's already here. What else do you need to do? He's here. Like, you can only do so much
right.
at one time. He's...
I'm right here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. Good. Any questions? You feel guilty? Because why? Yeah, I haven't graduated yet.
Yeah.
I'm busy. I like to be busy. I like to, you know, I like to entertain. I got up at 6 o'clock this morning to shovel the drive. You know?
Yeah, like that. Yeah.
I didn't sit quiet this morning and ponder God. I got up and shoveled snow.
Yeah, and right. You feel guilty. And we feel guilty. Many, many, many more of us, I'm going to suggest, are like Martha. We like to get things done. We feel good about getting things done. And then we feel guilty because really, if we graduated to a more spiritually formed place, we would be more like Mary, who is content with the ocean glistening in the background and a soft breeze blowing through her hair. So let's notice a few things. Jesus continued toward Jerusalem and came to a village. When he got to that village, he does what? He got welcomed into whose home? What's the direction of this passage? Where is it going? Okay, but where is he going in this passage? To Martha's home. Jesus is moving toward Martha. The writer is very clear. Luke is like, what this story is about Jesus walking toward Martha. To do what? To teach her a lesson? Because he's worried about her? And then we read, Martha welcomes Jesus into her home. Now the word welcome is actually not the word shalom, which would be a great, I mean, shalom is a rich word. I know you guys have studied that. That means wholeness, that means peace. The word welcome is a Greek word, hupodekomai. Let's say that together, people. Hupodekomai. Beautiful. The Greeks are always smashing together two words. Hupo means underneath. And dekomai means to take with the hand, to take hold of, to receive or grant access to a visitor, or to not refuse friendship. So when you hupodekomai someone, you are coming underneath them and taking them by the hand and welcoming them into who you are, into what you are, into your home. And your home could mean your physical home, you know, but it could also mean, you know, those times when you sit down with someone at a coffee shop or at a restaurant and it's like time to be eye to eye, nose to nose, knee to knee, and it's time to really invite them to hear what is in your life, and it's time to invite them to say something into your life. Have you ever experienced that? Please. Yeah. You're hupodekomaiing them when you get into this. So it's very intentional. I'm inviting you in. This is what Martha is doing. But Martha is doing it because the direction of this passage is Jesus is making the initiating effort of moving towards Martha. Exactly who she actually is in her actual life. Right? So question. What does it mean to receive Jesus into your actual life like this? What does it mean to have a knee-to-knee, eye-to-eye, toe-to-toe, heart-to-heart invitation from Jesus to you? What does that look like? Yeah. Say that again, please, because that was so delicious.
Being completely honest with them, even if it means it just not.
Being completely honest with Jesus, even if it means you diss him. From the mouths of children. Now, this is so fascinating because what does Martha say to Jesus? I mean, someone read it in their text, or can we get that text back up on the screen? Or maybe it's next. Martha was anxious. Don't you care that my sister's leaving me to do all the work by myself? Question. When you have a guest into your home, do you talk to them like that? No. I mean, that is so... She is dissing him. She is being unbelievably rude. What kind of person talks to another kind of person like that? What does that say about their relationship? Well, maybe. Maybe they're just, you know, rude to each other and they don't care about each other. Maybe that's maybe. That they're already friends. What kind of friends? Close friends. I mean, you don't say what Martha said unless you are really tight. Why? It's super, well, and what's going to happen? I mean, if you say that to just anyone, what are they going to do to you? Yeah, get mad and be like, I'm out of here. I mean, this is dumb. I mean, I'm not, this is ridiculous. I mean, this is unbelievable. Number one, talk to your sister yourself. Quit using me. So I'm going to suggest, what's your name? Ariana? Ariana cracked the code of this whole text. That when Jesus moves toward you, and when you hupodekomai, when you open yourself wide, what Jesus wants to do is to listen to what is really happening in your actual life. No platitudes, no overly holy reactions from you, no, well, Jesus, you know, I am over there making your bread, and I'm also watching Downton Abbey, and I don't know why I'm talking like that. And, you know, I am happy to do it, and because I love you so much, and it would be great if someone helped me, but no big deal. I mean, no. That when Jesus is moving toward you, and you hupodekomai, you invite Jesus into your actual life, what Jesus wants to do is hear what's actually happening. So the text here, just in case you think I'm making this up, the word anxious is the Greek word perispao, which I love. Peri, this is another dual word that's being smashed together. Peri means around. Perichoresis is the word for Trinity. It means to dance around. So when we talk about the Father, Son, and Spirit, perichoresis is the dancing together of the mutual indwelling Father, Son, and Spirit. That's not the word. Perispao means... To go around, and then spao means to draw one's sword. So what does perispao mean? Yes! That's exactly what it means, to engage in a duel. Jesus, I'm taking you on right now, because you came with your 12 ridiculously large friends into my home, and I did not invite them, I invited you. But here they are, tracking mud into my house and drinking all my wine. And I have to make food for them as well as you. And what I was looking forward to, Jesus, is a little mano y mano, a little time together. Now you're hanging out with my sister, and your 12 friends are drinking all my wine in the cellar. And I'm stuck in the kitchen, and what I wanted was time with you. So I'm going to take my sword out, and we're going to duel, because this is not how it's supposed to be. How many times have you tried to create space, just you and God? And then life crashes in on you, right? And if your kids don't crash in on you, your own thoughts crash in on you, right? So the fire is blazing, the house is quiet, and it's you and Jesus. And all of a sudden, grocery list, right? Work list, emails, blah, blah, blah. So it's not even necessarily your kids that are crashing in on you, it's your own self that's crashing in on you. And then you get what? You get ticked. You get upset because, you know, Jesus is right there, but you can't access Jesus. And so this is what's happening to Martha. She is dissing Jesus. But then the response, it's so interesting. Jesus says this, and do we have it? Oh, you know what? Here, go back. Oh, I totally forgot this. Go back. All right. Leaving me to do all the work by myself. Manos is the word by self. And it, for myself, it means alone, forsaken, destitute of help, alone, only, or merely. To be merely Martha. What does it mean to be merely Martha? Merely someone who's doing the dishes. Merely someone who's fixing the food. Second place, Jesus picked someone else. And so Martha feels, I mean, this is like, now we're getting to the real feeling. Now we've moved past anger to real sadness. Do you see that? Right? So question. When was the last time you sparred with Jesus? If someone could have the, maybe in a short way, to share a real life story of a time in your life when you actually sparred with Jesus. Like this. Or are you too polite with Jesus? Ed, go ahead.
I'm getting this feeling, sensation that there's a multifaceted thing going on with Martha. She has an expectation. She's invited Jesus into her house. That's one expectation. She is a homemaker and an entertainer, and she has an expectation there. And she also has the expectation that she wants that one-on-one time with Jesus. And none of it's happening, and that's where the anger comes in.
Okay. Everyone hear that? Keep going.
That's the thought process. Okay. The last 6 months of my life has been in a valley, and I have had screaming matches with God. And in the process of that, I'm still humble on a daily basis because the love of Jesus keeps coming back to remind me how wonderful he is in my life. And I am a Martha. I am a doer. And I have expectations. And it's a dual-fold thing for me with this, because I see Martha's side, but I also see Jesus saying, calm down and just be here and listen to what I have to say.
Wow. Ed, thank you. Can I ask you a question? So in those moments, in that valley, when you're a doer and you freak out and there's Jesus, where does he meet you?
Where I'm at.
Where I'm at. He meets me where I'm at. You guys, this is the entire point of this text. Jesus was moving toward Martha. And the point is not for Martha to be more like Mary. The point is that Jesus wanted to meet Martha where she was at, merely Martha, alone, tired, exhausted, feeling like she's overlooked. And here's Jesus saying, now I'm not going to take Mary's way away from her, because this is Mary's way, to sit at my feet. But I'm also going to invite you to experience me in your way, I think is what Jesus is saying, where you're at. So, in verse 42, Jesus says, really only one thing matters. I won't take it away from her. And the word for matters is kria. It's a Greek word, kria. It's usually translated needed, but the root word is care. And what that means is it is applied to God's help or activity or power in creating the universe, or upholding and preserving the universe, or where God is present, protecting and aiding a person. So Jesus is saying, Martha, really, the one thing that matters is that you see right here and right now that the person that has come into your home because you welcomed me in is the person who created and sustains and upholds the whole world. That's who's come into your home. And I am moving toward you to continue to uphold and preserve you exactly where you are at right now. And I think that's the direction of Emmanuel, God with us. That's the direction of Jesus coming to the earth to be with us, to save us, to restore us, to redeem us, to invite us into restoring the rest of the world and putting it to rights. So the one thing that matters is, will you be who you are? Wired up the way you are? Busy or contemplative? Loving to get things done or loving to read and study? Or some mixture of the above? And will you allow God to meet you there so that something really, really good can be born in you? And the danger is that we look across the room and we say, well, there's Martha, or there's Mary, and I should be more like her. When Jesus is saying the one thing that matters is that you allow me to meet you where you are so that something beautiful can be born in the world through you. We're going to do this together. But you have to be you. Does that make sense? And you have to bring what you bring. You have to be willing to spar and duel. And so, question for you. To think about, if you want to respond, you can respond, but this might be just a more thinking about it question. What do you need right now to uphold and preserve you in your time of craziness? And your time of craziness might be job transition. It might be relational confusion. It might be the craziness that comes with being a parent. It might be the craziness that comes with trying to do something brand new that you might be being invited into right now. But what do you need to uphold you and preserve you in this time of craziness in your life? And that might be something, you know, just to journal on, right? So imagine that Jesus that moved toward Martha is moving toward you in the same way. And you're going to hupodekomai, right? I mean, that's what you prayed in the beginning of this talk. You didn't, you know, that's, okay, God, here's the invitation. Come, please come. And now imagine Jesus comes into your home. And there you are, saying yes. And instead of this blissful feeling of, oh, it's me and God, oh, isn't this great? Something gets stirred up in you that's painful, just like Martha. So what do you need from Jesus to uphold you and preserve you during this time? And would you be willing to have the courage to ask Jesus to do that for you? Like, think of the vulnerable thing that you really would like Jesus to do. How you'd like Jesus to meet you. Would you be willing? Maybe it's, you got to spar for a little while. You got to duel for a little while. I'm going to suggest that the movement is always God toward us. And we respond, you know. Someone said this, that our way to God, when we try to create a road to God, that's called religion, right? And it will always fail us. It will just always be limited. But God's way to us is always Jesus. The Jesus that transcends religion, the Jesus that transcends so many of our ways of thinking and believing, that Jesus is walking toward you, wanting to come into your home, wanting to give birth to something beautiful. And so the question is, yikes, what will you do with that? Will you compare yourself to someone else who isn't like you? Or will you allow Jesus to meet you in the mess that you are? In your actual life. Not your ideal life. Because Jesus doesn't do a lot of work in the ideal realm. Jesus loves to work in the actual. Gritty, real, imperfect, messy, as you actually are. So, Questions, comments, reflections?
I'll say again what I said first service. I hear this passage and the one that's going in my head earlier and even now is Peter and Jesus walking on the beach. Or what about him? And Jesus says, don't worry about him. That's my deal with him. This Peter, this is you and me. And I get the same thing here. It's Martha's sin. Not that she's sinning, but Martha's sin, or whatever, is that not that she's working, but that she's trying to. This is the comparison to Mary. Like, there's something. Mary has her own thing with Jesus, but Jesus has his thing with Martha too. I love that. And comparison kills me all the time. I have to jump around and talk about, it's so easy to compare my life to everybody else's Facebook life, and it's not news because my real life doesn't measure up. You know, and so I think that's huge for me in this, is to see that. Like, it's the comparison, it's the thing.
Yeah. So good, Charlie. Comparison will kill you. And Jesus is never asking you to be anyone else but you. Flaws, imperfections.
Yeah, I think you said that in the first service, that too, that Jesus never in this passage says to Martha, be with more like Mary.
No.
He never tells her to be Mary.
No. He never does. Yeah, Mandy.
Just to go along with that, I wonder if there was a way that Mary could do all of the things, or that Martha could do all of the things that she was doing and find Jesus in them.
Ding, 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 ding.
Else to find him. So making a pizza for a friend can be just as worshipful and just as meaningful and connective as sitting at his feet listening to him speak. But she didn't try to find that. She lost herself in feeling like she was missing what was happening over here.
You did it. You did it.
I wrote that down. I said, can Jesus be present in the details / busyness? And I think he totally can be, because I'm the same way. I'm a to-do list maker. And if I'm in the to-do list and I'm trying to think, okay, what can I do here? Even when I'm cooking and listening to music, I'm like, man, this is really good. I'm really happy this is happening. Thank you, Jesus. There's constant reminders, and that's what I need to kind of get through the busyness. Is even though I have my giant to-do list, I'm totally a Martha. I'm my mother, too, but that's my same way. You have to kind of look for him in those ways, and that's where, I guess, where he finds you, is where you're at, and that's what you're doing.
What if that was true, that Jesus met us every single place where we, and that we're on the ride with. Yeah. Yes. Yeah, the comparing to Mary made her challenge what's really good in herself. That's so true and tragic, isn't it? I mean, it's like people that have the gift of opening up their homes and feeding people. I mean, that's one of the most beautiful gifts on planet Earth. Let's not denigrate that. That's beautiful. I mean, we would all crash and burn and die if that gift didn't exist. And yet, somehow that's less than another gift. Oh, man, don't you want to? And that's where Jesus goes, Martha, Martha. And I think that Martha is not Martha, Martha. Marsha, Marsha, Marsha. I mean, it's tender, it's sweet, it's Martha, Martha. I want to say your name twice to remind you who you are. You're Martha. You're beautiful. I came to your house because I love the hummus you make. And I want it. This is beautiful. So don't, that's your one thing, and let's do it together. You know, what would it be like to start your, I've had this goofy picture in my mind for years now where when I think about it in the morning, the picture is, I grew up in California. I grew up on the ocean. So the ocean's always been this big expansive, hopeful place for me. And so the picture in my mind is, I'm at the top of a hill looking down onto the ocean, and me and Jesus are in a pickup truck, and we're about to do the day together. And Jesus is just sitting there going, well, what are we going to do today? And he's got this really kind of whimsical, rascally look on his face. And when I'm in the mode that I want to be in, I'm in the pickup truck with Jesus all day, and we're just doing stuff together. And I'm going to fail, and I'm going to leave the truck and come back and blah, blah. But the invitation is that he's right there. So, beautiful. Yeah, Lewis.
I like to read into it that usefulness and helpfulness is a very spiritual quality.
Yes.
And then I think about how Jesus was bringing a message both to both Martha and to Mary, and a little different message. And I almost like to read into it that when Mary hears the message that he has, maybe she will become obsessed with being useful and help.
Oh, yeah. She'll lose her thing. Yeah, yeah.
Here's something. Maybe Martha had already heard it. We don't, you know, can't tell, but I have recollection of holiness coming out in, when we were reading back in Peter, and part of holiness was being useful, being helpful. And then Jesus, he about told his disciples, love him. Love each other as I have loved you. And how did he love people? But by being helpful and useful for everyone. He just had a high degree of ability to do it.
Yeah. It's like, let's not over-spiritualize, though it's so important, these times alone with God. These are so important and they're good. And if you're an introvert, you probably need more time alone with God. But let's not overly spiritualize that as the only holy thing to do. Charlie has a thing over his sink that says something like, when I cook, it's worship. Well, is it that? You know, it's a yes, yes. Okay, last one, and then I think we got to wrap it up because it's 12:30 and we're hungry. Exactly. Can we be expansive enough to allow other people to have their relationship with God in the way that they have it? You know, as different as us as it is. Can we be okay with that? Because I think it's driven by we feel bad about our thing, so we need to either make everyone else like us or we need to become like everyone else. And it's just all this passage is saying, don't do that. Martha, Martha, be you. Let me meet you where you are at in your home. The direction is Jesus toward you, but you have to be you, right? And then beautiful things will be born. Beautiful things will happen. Amen?
Amen,
amen. All right? Woo! Okay, thank you guys. I want to pray, and then Charlie's going to come up, I think, for a benediction. So let's pray together. Let's keep our eyes open as we pray, and let's do the courageous thing of looking around at each other, okay? Can we do that? Woo! We can do that. It's Imago Dei. It's different. It's quirky. So look at each other as we pray. God, here we are, the people of God gathered, and we've opened up the scriptures, and we've talked about them together, and we learned so much more because all of our voices were present. And we've experienced you, God. We've experienced and tasted your goodness. So let what has been born in us bear fruit in the world for good. Amen?
Amen?
Amen.
We all show Steve your appreciation to him and being with us. One other shout out to the podcast people. I hope you can hear, and I have a suspicion you can't hear all the discussion, but how rich and how good, and I hope you caught at least parts of it. So good. If you want to follow up with Steve and keep track, I told you about his blog at the beginning. It looks like this, and it's at steveweens.com, or if you search Google for the actual pastor, you'll find him there. Ironically, the first post is one I wrote for him. So a little plug for me as well. That's good. And so you can follow him there. And then one of the things he just announced on his blog for 2014 is that he has a couple goals, but one of them is working on writing a book. And so if that happens, we're going to let you know. And that will come through your blog and all that stuff. And they'll share in that journey. But that's exciting. And so let's just do a benediction together. And everybody travel home safely. Be careful. And the offering box is in the back. I'll tell you that now. But let me just say a benediction as we go. So why don't we all stand together? And let's end this way. May you live your actual life, the harried, hurried, chaotic life that you live, and like Mary, or like Martha in her busy life, may you find Jesus there. May you invite Jesus, may you spar with Jesus, and may you find Jesus moving towards you right where you actually are. Amen. Grace and peace to you. Have a great week.